It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy. So welcome back to Resin Mastery, exploring iCoat epoxy. And it is a great time of year because in the industry where people are doing flower preservation and things, they're preparing for wedding season. Rachel, how are you today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing today, Ian?
Oh, it's beautiful out. It's a little chilly, and I just actually saw on the news of massive snowstorms in Mississippi and Louisiana, and it's amazing places that are getting crazy snow, and here it's just really cold, but nice and bright and sunny. But it just reminds me, with the sun out, right, that spring's coming, wedding season's coming, and for all those artists out there, what are you doing to get ready for wedding season?
That is an excellent question. I'm also kind of wondering what people are doing to prepare for that. What do you think, I guess, like, let's touch base, what do you think people might be doing right now?
So I think the smart folks out there are planning. I think they're planning their promotions. I think they're planning, you know, their outreach, their social media. They're doing things to actually get ready. So, you know, when those weddings are afoot and they're looking for someone to do flower preservation for their weddings and, like, you know, those gift presentations that we've seen that are just absolutely beautiful, that, you know, they're getting that business. Because the reality is, if Rachel, let's say you're getting married, right? So if you're getting married, one of the first things you're going to do is try and book everything as far in advance as possible. Now, there are certain things that come down to last minute stuff. And sometimes, you know, flower preservation, even though it should be booked in advance, ends up being one of those, not last minute, but later in the game type things people book. So, you know, I'll ask you a question here. Like, let's say you as a bride getting married, you know, what would be the type of, like, preservation and the memory type items that you'd want to save from that wedding?
Ooh, I would definitely, like a lot of other brides, I think, who are looking to get something like that done, I think I would definitely want my bouquet preserved. But also, I think it would be nice, like, I don't know, something unique. And if, I guess I'd have to have a decent amount of money for this, but I was actually thinking about this the other day. You know how there's, like, the flower centerpieces at every table?
Yeah, like
saving those as well, and maybe making them into something that could then later be sent as a thank you to the people who attended. I think that's something I would probably want to do, because I like it. I like a good sense of community. And also, I love sending out thank you cards.
Yeah, so that'd be like the coolest type. I think you hit on something good there, right? Because I think there's a lot of people now not only doing the flower preservation of their bouquet so they can actually have that memory for, you know, as long as they're married, hopefully. But they're also doing presentations for the tables. So someone at the table can take that with them. Now, they're probably going to have flowers centered anyway, but there are a lot of little things, like, you know, little ring holders or little preserved flowers in smaller areas that could be little trinkets that could have, you know, John and Jen's wedding on the side of them or something as a little memento that, you know, that their friends got married. And there's a lot of those sort of things, you know, to think of for weddings. But then there's also, you know, you think about it, who pays for weddings most of the time?
Usually the bride's dad, from what I've heard, typically.
There you go,
or,
right?
You know, like a parent at least.
Yeah. So what a better thought than to actually have something made for the bride's parents as a thank you. And it could be something as a gift from the groom's parents, right? Where they get, like, maybe a tea tray, like with one of those beautiful ones with the handles, with the flowers, the colors of their children's wedding, you know, in there. And something as a, you know, thanks, mom and dad, for all you're doing, putting this wedding together. That, something like that could be really beautiful.
I definitely agree with that. That's actually such a sweet and, like, sentimental idea. especially because, I mean, weddings can be, I mean, depending on the wedding, it can be really costly. And I think just like a little token of gratitude from the groom side would be definitely something sweet to receive for the bride side of the family. 100%
agree. And then when you think about it for the bridesmaids, what a better little token of their appreciation than maybe a ring holder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those beautiful ring holders, one for each of the bridesmaids, could be absolutely beautiful because, you know, a lot of brides or people who play bridesmaids in a wedding, most of them aren't married yet. And the idea of having a ring holder, there's like one of those true north pieces of, look, one day you'll be getting married and this can be a place for you to put your wedding rings, you know, while you're in the bathroom, right? Or you, the way to store little mementos, you know, from your youth. There's trinkets, there's rings that just, you know, just have such a sentimental place on your heart.
Yeah, and I have a lot of rings, so having a nice little customized like ring holder would be nice because I just put mine in a bowl.
Yeah, and the ring holders look so beautiful as well, especially when they've got like a flower in them and they're sparkling in the light as well. And again, if it's something that reminds you of you, one of your best friends who chose you as a bridesmaid to be part of their wedding, you know, I think that's just such a touching gift and something to actually make sure it's part of your planning for wedding. So let's think about this, Rachel. When do most people get married? What would your guess be?
Ooh, you know, my birthday month is October, and I hear that being a very, very popular, like one of the most busy times of people getting married is the fall. But I do know that a lot of people, you know, don't really always love the weather of fall, depending on where they are in the country. So I'd have to say the most popular, what I would say for like nationwide would probably be spring.
Yeah, well, October is the month I got married, so as I like your first guess. But you're right, spring is, and actually I think you hit it before, spring and fall, or autumn as we call it in England, they are the two biggest areas where people get married. So basically March through May and also September through November are the most popular times. Now, you know, you and I talked before the show today about, you know, why people don't want to get married in the winter. And a lot of them are pretty obvious, right?
Holidays,
Christmas, Thanksgiving, the freezing cold.
You don't want to have goosebumps for the wrong reason on your wedding.
No, you don't. Exactly. That's a great line. Exactly. You know, at the height of winter, the last thing you want to do is come from doing a lot of traveling to then have to go and travel again for Christmas or Thanksgiving. And also the idea that, you know, your wedding could be snowed out or just miserable. So, yes, spring and fall tend to be the biggest times. Now, summer, actually, in certain areas still works because you get certain states like, you know, especially the northern states like Nebraska or up into Illinois or Montana and Idaho, you know, you get some beautiful, you know, summer days up there. So weddings can be good there, but a wedding here in Phoenix in July?
Yeah, not ideal. Not in Arizona, at least.
No.
I would hate that. You'd be sweating off your makeup and the groom would be sweating for the wrong reasons. Once again, not the right conditions, definitely, for a wedding. And the last thing you want is to have a this is what I think about is stinky wedding dress, you know, because it's like that's you're gonna have to get that dry cleaned after that for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And doing that in the summer here.
You know, that the summer here is conducive to pools and very few clothing, let alone dressed in a tuxedo or a heavy wedding dress. You know, that wouldn't be the case. But, you know, spring and fall again here is actually big time. But, you know, weddings do go through. So what we want to say to all the preservation artists out there at the moment, either if you're running a business, and we did some great interviews with both Olivia Lee and Rachel Croxall with their businesses where they're doing preservation for weddings, they're very prepared people, Rachel. They're people who think it through. They've got their business set up, ready to go, so people can in advance know that they're in good hands when it comes to preserving wedding bouquets. But there's actually a lot of people out there who aren't very prepared or are just getting into the business. So what advice would we have for someone who wants to get into the preservation space and is getting ready for wedding season?
Definitely you want to, well, first and foremost, if you're just getting started, make sure, I would say, that you have all of the right equipment that you're going to need, especially like right now before it starts, because I'm sure prices will rise on the equipment when it really starts to get into season and where people are scrambling to get it. But on top of that, making sure that like you check the things that you already have, making sure that your setup is like that you've got the right area, and that like any machinery that you have is, you know, in good condition, that it's not going to break on you, maybe get a backup or something. I would say that's like the first step, since that's going to help you create in the first place. But what else would you add on top of that?
What's well, I think you hit on a lot of the good ones there, right? Because the last thing you want to do is take someone's bouquet or take someone's project and mess it up. So, yeah, testing your equipment, testing that environment, making sure it's like dust-free, making sure you can have an area that's closed off to keep mosquitoes and flies and everyone else out of the actual preservation. But also, you know, going over, you know, what are the latest best practices around doing a preservation? Is the better molds than you used the year before? Are the better vacuum chambers? Do you have enough product lined up? You know, we had a few years ago where, you know, there was a shortage of resin. There were companies that just couldn't get it. They didn't know how, you know, that they were going to survive because they just couldn't get the resin. So making sure you're estimating what you need for the upcoming season is definitely something you have to do. Do you need 100 gallons? Do you need 25 gallons? Do you need 5,000 gallons? You know, these are different resource requirements that are going to mean different, you know, different preparation. Because especially, you know, where are you going to receive 5,000 gallons? Have you got a place for it? Is it safe? Is it temperature controlled? All the different things you need to know based on how much product you're actually getting. So, yeah, I think that you hit on some really good ones. But then, as I say, making sure product-wise you're good after that as well.
Yeah, I think that that's a great point, because it doesn't matter how good your equipment is if you don't have the product to create either. So it's really everything. That's the thing, too, about owning your own business and all the things that go into it is it can be tough. It can be sometimes a little overwhelming to make sure everything's in order. But, you know, it's definitely possible to set yourself up for the rest of the year and make sure that you've got all the logistics figured out. And I would say another good thing to keep in mind, too, is all of that is not for naught if you don't have any customers. So I would say the next step after making sure product and equipment is ready is the marketing. Definitely like marketing yourself, making sure people know who you are, putting yourself out there on like social media. It's a little bit dusty out here in Arizona right now. Yeah, making sure that like you're posting on your stories, Instagrams, any promotions that you might have set up for wedding season, or kind of just like seeing also like if, you know, in your area there's a lot, or maybe it's not your area that you're going to have a lot of weddings at that time. So making sure that you're marketing to like specific other states that might not know you exist, I think is really important, because as a small business and in order to grow, you know, you got to put yourself out there a lot. It can be actually,
you hit
sometimes.
On some good points, really good points. Just for our listeners, my background's marketing, so I'm going to throw a few freebies out there for all of you that are into the wedding preservation space. Put together your hit list. Everyone from florists to wedding planners to people who provide goods for weddings. These are the people you've got to start now getting in touch with, because some of these people are going to want to refer business but not actually do the business. Some of them you may do a deal with where you pay them a little commission for turning you on to business. Others may just do it out of the goodness of their heart. But, you know, definitely florists, because florists will probably be the first people that will get asked, do you do preservation? Then wedding planners, make sure the wedding planners in your area are well aware of your ability to turn around a great product. Now, make sure you got your pictures lined up. Make sure, like you said earlier, Rachel, your social media. You know, that's a really big one, to make sure you've got all that sort of stuff lined up. And then make sure your website is in place, telling people exactly the service area you cover. If you listen to a few of the interviews that we've done with preservation artists, some of the things they'll say is that if you have to ship something too far, or especially if it's got to go across borders, now you're running into issues, especially where you've got flowers that are very delicate and can't be, you know, beaten up through one of the major shippers for days. They need to be A to B pretty quickly. So yeah, they're the things you need to start to do. So put together a real hard and fast plan, and keep a lookout on our website as well, because if you visit the iCope product website and the artist side of things, where we cover flower preservation, one thing we're going to have on there is a best practices sheet for wedding preservation artists coming up soon. So yeah, it's going to be really fun, because, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, the people using our product and who are doing these preservations are creative, they're skilled, and they're getting the job done right every time. It's one of the mantras of us. So we want to make sure that's being done. So Rachel, I've got a bit of a pop quiz for you now.
Okay.
What do you think, and actually you don't have to name all 25 of them, but what would you think the most popular cities for weddings are in the United States?
Oh gosh, that's a tough one, because I'm like, ooh, I'm great with the states, I'm not so good with the cities. Well, our home here in Arizona, Phoenix, is definitely a big one. I know I hear of tons of people wanting to do like the spring weddings out here, and like more so like the September through November weddings, because our weather is so nice and it's very sunny. It's good for pictures. So I'd say that's probably close to the top, but...
Do you want me to give you the answer of where it is?
What, like the very first one?
No, I'm saying Phoenix is actually number 21 on that list of 25.
What? Yeah. No way.
Yeah, it's not at the top at all. Okay, you got another couple of guesses, but where else would you think?
Ooh, well, definitely I would say, ooh, it's hard, because I'm like, I'm blanking. I would say probably... a few places in Florida would be good too. Maybe Tampa, Miami.
You hit the nail on there. Tampa is number 4 on that list, and Orlando is number 1. But Miami is number 5. So at the top 5, 3 of them are Florida cities.
Ooh, I have another one. I forgot about this one, but Vegas. I know
number 2.
Everybody loves either a quick or a slow wedding in Vegas. Like, it's nice and
Elvis wedding.
Easy. Yeah, the Elvis wedding at the little chapels they have. So cute.
Oh, you know what? Just thought of this. How cool would it be to get an Elvis head mold that you could actually do a flower preservation in an Elvis head mold for people who got married in Vegas?
Oh my gosh, that's actually such a good idea.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going searching on the web. At the moment we finish this podcast, I'm going searching on the web for an Elvis head mold, because I think that would be awesome. But just to give you a bit of a heads up on, no pun intended, on a few of the others, like Knoxville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Boise, Idaho, and St. Louis round out the top 10. So a lot of them are southern state cities. So obviously, you know, climate becomes a big part of getting married. People want to actually stay in the warmer areas. There's not a lot of northern states like, you know, other than Boise that's up there. Montana's not on that list. It, you know, not even Illinois is on that list as well, which is kind of interesting. But we'll also publish this on the show notes as well, so you'll get to see what those other cities are as well. So, Rachel, yeah, this has been a fun episode, getting ready for wedding season. Any last thoughts?
You know, I would just say to all of our listeners that, you know, you guys who may have been in the business for a long time, or even any of you guys just starting out, you know, just be steadfast with the way that you're producting yourself, you know, and you are marketing yourself. Don't give up, because things do get really challenging. That's something that I've personally had oh so apparent in my life recently. And I love transparency. I love connection. And I love having a sense of community. And even though I haven't ever seen your guys' faces, even though I haven't spoken to you directly, I do hear some of the feedback from Ian and from what I see online. And I just know that, like, support goes a long way. So just know that we're here for you, and yep, that you get to tune in every single week on, you know, whatever day it reaches you, no matter when it does. But just stay steadfast in your projects, in your business. Don't give up, because things will get easier. With busy times comes, you know, bigger responsibility, but it all pays off. So just kind of remember that as you're going into this busy season. Take some deep breaths. Don't get overwhelmed. Make sure that, you know, you're buying a good product, which would be, in this case, iCoat, because it is really good. It's food safe. Like, there's so many good qualities that the product has, and not even to just throw it out there in, like, a really marketing way, but just, you know, you can trust us to come to us with your issues that you're having as well. Any hangups that you might be experiencing in terms of business, or questions in regards to just starting and you don't really feel comfortable enough to reach out, but go ahead and do it.
Yes, exactly.
Is the support email and everything, that's on the iCoat webpage,
yeah,
right?
That's all there. And obviously, Tim, the owner, he's always on the phone with people, helping them solve problems. And it's one of the things that people who've been with us forever say. It's the product's amazing. It's crystal clear. It's bubble free. And the support you get from Tim's just, you know, out of this world. So, yeah, great advice, Rachel. Be prepared. Have a plan. Don't just go into this, you know, hope is not a strategy, is one of my many mantras, but it really is the case. Yep. So until next time, we'll see you on Resin Mastery, Exploring iCoat Epoxy. And Rachel, till next time, I'll speak to you there.